CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution joins me because within these last days, Victor attended and indeed was on the stage speaking to a gathering of nearly 2,000 people in California in the San Joaquin Valley attending the Devin Nunes Freedom Festival, the first of its kind. The presentation was in a large agricultural center. I'm told it covers a square mile. It was in a unit where there usually are farm shows, you know, the excellent sheep, excellent cows, excellent tractors. It's the Tulare International Agri Center. But at the front, Victor Davis Hanson walked out to, I'm told, an applause from this, the nearly 2,000 people that were there. And Victor, you're here to explain to us what it is that everybody was excited about. Why was this, there was a spirit of being free, being liberated from the pandemic. How did you regard the people who attended, and what was the success of the event in your opinion? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, you know, it was at the Tulare Ag Center somewhere. For 20 years when I was farming, I'd go down there every February, and it started all as sort of a tent and a mud, you know, just muddy in February. And it ended up as this huge, multi-building, huge complex that is the world's largest exhibition of farm equipment and practices and technique. So it's kind of an iconic place. And I think most people thought Devin Nunes would have maybe 500 or 600 people that would want to come out and hear speakers, but he had, I think, 2,200. So it was just packed. And it was kind of a celebration that people here in the San Joaquin Valley are back again. They want to get out of the lockdown. The death rate, the COVID infection rate have dropped. We're vaccinating 450,000 people a day in California. And I think they're seeing that what they told everybody about Joe Biden, that he wasn't Joe Biden from Scranton, and then his first 100 days would be a disaster in terms of the economy, the border, the lack of deterrence abroad, what we're seeing in the Middle East, for example, turned out to be true. And so there was a sort of sense that we warned everybody, and now we're going to have to win the midterms. So it was kind of a jubilant era. You just don't see in California 22 really happy, ecstatic people that come out on a Saturday afternoon like that.
The puzzle here is the pandemic over? Is that what's doing this? I watched the video. Everybody seemed joyful and relaxed and vaccinated. That's what struck me, Victor. The vaccine has made a profound difference, and we're noting that politics are changing all around us. Now, in addressing this large group of people, was there one subject they cared about more than any other? Did you get a sense from the stage as you talk? Because you've written about everything that's going on in the last 6 months.
I think there's a profound worry that, and these were not just so-called white people. These were the San Joaquin Valley rural people are very ethnically diverse. And so I think there was just a sense of the middle class, or what's left of it in California, that things have gone wrong and they're getting very scary. And I'm talking about the woke movement. And so there were a lot of fear that people at work are having to go under re-education training. Are their children, as they peek in on the Zoom classes, are being indoctrinated, or they're hiring people with no job description, just on the basis of their race or gender, to monitor people for being insufficiently sensitive to supposed race and gender. So there's just a sense that we're not going to take this anymore. And as you and I have talked about, it seems like a lot of these radical changes in our culture were an artifact of everybody locking down, scared about the pandemic, artificially inaugurated recession, 100 million ballots that were cast not on election day, controversial. That perfect storm, I think, made people collectively crazy. And now I think they're waking up and saying, you know what, we don't have to do this anymore. And we're going to go back to the way we were, and we don't care what people say.
This was farm country, is farm country. And that's That's about as far from the campus as we can get. And last week we spoke about the campus going one-sided, entirely one-sided for the last decades. Has farm country shown itself as a partisan, or are they working too hard to worry about partisan politics on campus?
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem is that I can just tell you that by being on Zooms all day with Stanford University community and people in Palo Alto and then going, 28 miles from my home and seeing the other side, 66% of the country don't have bachelor's degrees. And this stereotype that we've had, they're deplorable, they're chumps, they're dregs, isn't true. They were very happy, they're industrious, they're very successful. And the people that I talk to that have the 32% that have bachelor's and professional degrees, I'm stereotyping now, and I'm a child of the Enlightenment. I'm pledged to the value of higher education. I'm not a nihilist, but it does seem to me that in this entire crisis, a lot of the melodramas and psychodramas were from the class with the expertise or the cattle brand of alphabetic letters after their name. That wasn't from the people that got it through. These were the people who kept producing our food. They drove the tractor. They irrigated. They sprayed the crops. They trucked them into the cities. They produced the fuel, the natural gas. They cut the timber. They mined the granite. They did all of that, and that didn't stop them. And so for them, the COVID and the lockdown, they were just things they see every day. That's losing your crops right before harvest to hail, or, throwing your back out while you're trying to hitch up the disc. And for them, they're very resilient people. And I think that's what keeps us going. And we're waking up and we're saying, I just don't trust these people anymore. I don't trust Anthony Fauci. He's been wrong about everything despite his illustrious, career. And I didn't trust James Comey or John Brennan. I don't trust the people around Joe Biden that are advising him on the border. I don't think their economists understand the ancient wisdom that if you print money and you pay more to people to stay home than to go to work, and you trash or you disparage the productive classes, then you're going to get inflation, and you're going to get stagflation. So this was kind of a reaffirmation of what I'd call the ancient wisdom of common sense, these people. And if you defend the police, you're going to get more crime. If you have a lack of deterrence abroad, you're going to get a war. If you print money, you're going to get inflation. That's the world they live in. And the world that we see in Washington is la-la land.
The Valley has suffered great unemployment and dislocation during the pandemic. Now, it is, of course, the bread and fruit basket, so it will recover. I'm struck by the fact that the big cities in California, I'm thinking in particular two of them, San Francisco and Los Angeles, do those cities have good communication with the Valley? Do they visit each other? Is it separate worlds, San Francisco and San Joaquin Valley?
Well, if I walked into downtown Palo Alto to restaurants and Whole Foods or Stanford campus, and I asked people, what's a good restaurant in London or Seoul or Tokyo or Shanghai versus what's a good place to eat in Visalia or Bakersfield? I can guarantee you they can give me advice about something that's 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 miles away, but they cannot tell you anything about a place 180 miles away. So it's a completely different culture. It's not even in the same state. People forget that the 30 million people along the coastal corridor from La Jolla to Berkeley within 50 miles of the Pacific Ocean are the most left-wing people in the world. But the 33% who live in 80% of the territory, the far north of Sierra Nevada, the Inland Empire, and especially the Central Valley, are among them more concerned. They vote as if they were in Wyoming or Montana or Utah. They're some of the most conservative people in the world. And they don't have, this is where we have the Oklahoma diaspora. These are the people who came after the detritus of the Civil War. They came out in the railroad and homesteaded. These are the people Frank Norris wrote about in The Octopus. I grew up with them, and I'm one of them, and I feel that they have nothing in common. For me, it's always been a schizophrenic experience as a student at Stanford or going to work at Hoover to drive over just 180 miles and enter, you know, like going from Earth to Mars and then back again. It's just a different world. There's nothing in common with it, unfortunately. And globalization accentuated those differences. They look out in the Pacific in the way that where you are, John, you guys look out at Europe.
Right.
But just as you guys don't look at Ohio or I don't mean you, but your culture you have to swim in, you don't look at Ohio or Indiana. So these people don't look at the interior of California and places like that.
And yet you have such powerful leadership in Congress from California, but it's from that 30 million people along the coast. I understand that the vice president, the speaker of the House, major committee chairman. I'm speaking with Victor Davis Hanson. The success was the Devin Nunes Freedom Festival, first annual, and at the Agri Center, this very large facility. And Devin tells me that there's even a larger building than that one, the International Agri Center, where the tractors are when Devin appears on television. When we come back, Victor's mentioned that we have trouble in the world, and it doesn't start here in America, but America's part of the reason there may be disorder, maybe. And we'll discuss that when we come back. Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.